Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. For this program, I have a guest with me. She's Mahala. She tells me she is a galactic communicator from the Palladian system. She edits a monthly planet alert, for which she uses her skills as an astrologer, together with her spiritual understanding and knowledge of biblical prophecies. Are you with me, Mahala?
Yes, I am. Nice to be here.
I hear you now, yes. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Fine. Can I ask you immediately, where and when did all these skills start that you now use to bring out this planet alert?
Well, it was in 1980 when I live in Washington State, and when Mount St. Helens erupted, I thought, I had already started astrology, and I thought, well, wow, I noticed that, you know, I thought, I wonder if I put the planets on the map. I noticed that they're on the map, you know, starting with the international dateline, that a world map has 360 degrees on it, and it's divided up into 30-degree sections. And so that was the same as an astrology chart, you know, and so like Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, etc. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to look at my ephemeris and see where the planets are transiting, and then I'm going to put the planet on that area of the Earth, and that's where events were happening. And so I started doing that, and I've continued doing it, and it's really been quite amazing how the events happen where the planets are.
Right. Are you unique in using that system, or have you come across other people?
No, I haven't come across anyone else. A couple people have asked me if I'd teach them, you know, and so I did put the information out there, but I don't know if they're doing it or not. So I think it's kind of unique, because I haven't run across anyone else.
Well, you must have been really inspired to do it that way.
I think so. Probably did.
I'd like to talk about something that's obviously topical, because today is the International Day of Peace. And
right.
We would have already had, I guess, a minute silence for world peace, which I believe was due to take place at midday. Now, what significance would that day be astrologically for the success of that Day of Peace?
Okay, well, it's a really good time to have it because of the planetary aspects that have been out there, because the planets are in kind of like what's considered a negative aspect right now, and Mars is real dominant, and Mars will be dominant through the end of the year and then part of the first part of January, and Mars is considered a war planet. And so with that energy out there, all we can do to temper the energy is a great help. And also, like right now, we're right before the fall equinox, which is a very, very important time period, especially for you people living over there in England, because there's a point in space that's a huge black hole, and it holds 27 galaxies plus the Milky Way in place. Well, that particular point in space, according to my map, the way I do astrology, heads directly into England, into the Stonehenge, into the sacred area there. And so every fall, every equinox, that energy would help, you know, come focus into there. And so that has been a very, very important power point. And then the energy that does come in there, it goes to all of the other sacred sites, and it just flows around the world. And like in ancient times, that area was very, very important. And then kind of like the dark side came over and put some controls in. They set up the English bank, you know, et cetera, and which I hear is not part of England, or London, but is a separate entity on its own. And so because we're going through a lot of financial challenges right now, it's time to break the power of the dark side, basically, is what it boils down to. And so if people could just focus on the energy coming in, you know, they focus for peace, and then they also, like, I think it'd be, well, tomorrow, the 22nd, because the equinox, my time, is on the 23rd at 2:52 a.m. So if you're 8 hours ahead, that would be on the 22nd. And so if a bunch of people that are listening from England could focus in and help to help good energy come in, well, all energy is just energy, I guess, then that would be very good.
Right. That's very interesting. So no matter what date the equinox is on, energy-wise, that would mean presumably there are always these new energies coming into the Earth's grid system.
Pardon, I didn't quite understand that one.
Yeah, I'm just saying that on these important dates, when the equinox takes place, they're very powerful times when the energy is brought down into the grid system around the Earth.
Right, yeah, and being that the energy comes in and goes all around the world from at the fall equinox in that particular spot, it's a really important time, and so I don't think it's any accident that we're sitting here talking about it the day before the equinox, you know, because maybe we can inspire some people to help with that. And the fall equinox sets up events for 3 months. They go from equinox to solstice, and then solstice to equinox, and that's the energy. It's just like a birth chart. You know, so what's set up at the fall equinox will continue for 3 months.
Yes.
And could I add something else to the? Okay. Well, not only do we have the sun, you know, that the huge black hole lining up with England at the equinox tomorrow, we also have the planet Mars opposing Pluto, which is lined up with our galactic center. That's between 26 and 27 Sagittarius. And so that energy will be coming in. That's very, very powerful energy, too, because we've been experiencing a lot of energy from the galactic center lately. And so it's kind of like a double whammy this year, and that's why it's so important this year.
Yes. Right. September overall seems to be a very powerful month, doesn't it? We've already had quite some big eventful days already.
Yes, yeah, very much so. And I know that, I don't know if you read Meg Blackburn's channeling, but she said that, you know, on September 14th, well, that the rip in the fabric of creation would start on September 6th and continue until the 14th, where it reached the crescendo. Well, there's different things that happened in that particular week, and because I experience things, I'm an empath, and I seem to experience things that happen, and so once I experience them, I know that it's actually a fact, and so I know that that really happened, and there's been all of our negative thoughts, our collective negative thoughts that have gone out for thousands of years, all of these thoughts have been caught in a band around the Earth. And this is what's kept the Earth in kind of like a prison planet. Well, this is what's starting to go down. And so when this goes down, then the light from the photon belt will be able to come in. And I don't know how long it's going to take it to disintegrate, but I know that it started at the solar eclipse on September 11th, because that's when I felt it. And then on the twelfth, on the solar eclipse, or what day after, they had the 8.4 earthquake down in Indonesia, and then they had another 7. Well, that particular area really affects the axis of the Earth, and so this shows it not only affected us personally, but it also affected the axis of the Earth, and so with that. It's opening up the space so that this dark band can be taken away or disintegrated, and then the light can come through. And I have a reputation of having my dreams come true, not all of them, but a lot of them. And so on September 14th, right before I woke up, I had this dream that there were a bunch of people that were all together on top of this mountain, and there was a big celebration going on, and everyone was celebrating and saying that the light had now won on Earth. And so I know personally that on some level the light has won. It doesn't mean that there won't be any more dark events, because we have the fall to go through, and I think that there's some major things coming up. But I think it's a very short time period before we will notice that the light has won, and that the Earth is now back, will be going back to its the state that it was supposed to be of you know, peace and happiness and such. And so, and so, like today with the peace thing going on, you know, it's, well, you have to ask, you know, and you, we're creators, and so what we create. And so if we're creating peace, you know, by focusing into that today, then it will come. It might come in ways that we don't expect it to, like there could be like another war or something that would cause the peace to come afterwards. And I don't really like the thought of another war, because I don't care for wars, but the planetary aspect is such that there is a possibility for it. And so God works in mysterious ways, the wonders to perform. And so, but if we're focusing on peace, then I'm sure that that will come on our planet.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point you've made there, because we clearly have lived for quite some time now, since the start of the Iraq War, with the threat of the Bush administration starting another one with Iran, and one would like to think that if there was any attempt to do that, that it might in fact result in exactly what you said. It may be an attempt at war that will finally bring the peace that we want.
Right, yeah. And there's been a lot of energy against Bush, and but, you know, if you think of him as being an actor on the play, he's done a great job of bringing out all of the darkness that has been, you know, the mirror image. And I sure wouldn't want that job.
Yes.
And so somebody had to do it, you know, and so it's really, it's come to a climax right now. But the thing about it is why I'm concerned about a possible another war, is because of the Mars-Pluto opposition, and the Sun will square Mars at the solar eclipse, which is in effect for, you know, up to a year. And then Mars is going to be the dominant planet in the heavens for a while, because it's going to, like as soon as it finishes passing Pluto, then Mars is going to go in Cancer. And that's the sign of George Bush, you know. And so Mars is going to be in his sign, and it's going to turn retrograde on top of his sun in November. And so that would be a very powerful time period for him. And, you know, anything could happen at that particular time. And so Mars will be dominant for about 5 or 6 months, because once it stays into its retrograde phase, it's at the closest point to the Earth, and that's what makes it the most dominant planet.
Right. Uh-huh. And but again, that's something that's interesting. We will have to see how these coming weeks work out. Now, I gather from what you have told me before, what I've read, that you actually work on what is called a 13-planet astrology. That's a bit more unusual, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think, well, some people call it mundane astrology. So anyone that does a world astrology, you know, with world events going on, that's you know, called the mundane astrologer. And there are different astrologers that do that, but I don't really know of anyone that do it with the map, you know, like I do. And one of the reasons that you had the flooding and there were so many fires in Spain and Italy this summer is because there was a solar eclipse, and this was in March 30th, 2006, and there were a bunch of people that gathered in Turkey to watch the total eclipse, and so that was very powerful. And so that's an example of how an eclipse sets up events, and it can be like a year later when the events start manifesting.
Right. Now, with astrology, obviously, we are affected by the energies around us at the time of birth. And what I've wondered often is, are we actually born into a particular astrological time because of our life plan, or is there some random chance here?
I think that we choose our life. We choose the time to be born. And different physicists, in fact, one that lives in England, I forget his name right now, has proven that astrology works, and they've proven that there's an energy, a frequency, when the planets get in certain aspects, like a 90-degree angle, a 60-degree angle, that this produces a certain frequency that can be measured. And so when you are born into this particular frequency, that's your life pattern. And that's why the planets affect you when they move around into the different signs, is because as they move to the signs, they will be activating that particular frequency, and then the different events will happen in your life.
Right.
And,
now,
and
I've wondered about twins. Often they are born literally a few minutes apart, but those few minutes, do they really make that much difference to their astrological charts?
Well, it could, because there's what's called the rising sign, and that changes every 2 hours. And so with that, I mean, if twins are born like 5 minutes apart, 30 minutes apart, one could have one sign rising, and the other one could have another sign rising. Or I know, personally, I knew twins that were real close. They had the same rising sign and everything, except that one chose to go the negative one way, and one chose to go the positive way. And so yet, being born on the same day, they chose opposite destinies to experience.
Yes.
Which I found was very interesting, too.
Right. Can you actually state through your own experience whether there are particular signs that seem to favor, say, a certain type of sportsman or, say, a professional person like a doctor? Because one just gets the impression that there are dominant signs, particularly in sport. Do you have any comment on that?
I haven't really gone into that research, but I know that there are several astrologers that have done that, and they have found a correlation between it. But that's really not my expertise, and so I can't really comment on that, except that, yes, there is a correlation, and yes, it does work.
Yes. Okay, I thought there must be, but it's nice to ask someone who is involved in it. Now, with your chart, can you do one, say, from Mother Earth itself?
Can I what?
Can you do, with your charts that you're doing?
Yes.
Can you actually do one for the Earth itself?
Well, I don't know how you would do that. I haven't figured that one out yet. I think that mainly the one for the Earth is the what I do with the map, that because that's actually an astrological chart, you know, because like the sign of Aries starts at the international date line, and a lot of people know who Richard Hoagland is, and he says that on 19.5 degrees, Aries is the point on every planet that where they're all interconnected. Well, that, and the astrologers have known for years that 19-point degrees Aries is exalted, and that would be right over Hawaii. And so basically that is a birth chart, I think, of the world with the different signs in it, you know. And then as the planets move through it, they just trigger these different areas, and so I think that's probably as close as a birth sign to the world that you could get.
Yes, I see. Well, I thought it might be a silly question, but it's maybe not quite as silly as it sounds.
Uh-huh. No.
Now, in your August alert this year, you mentioned that time was circular, and I think you followed that by saying that the Atlantis energy is going to become once again available to us. Can you explain how that's happening?
Okay, well, that's something that my guides told me, that, you know, time was circular. It's like all the planets. I mean, if you look at all the planets, they're all round, you know, they're all a circle. The Earth is a circle, Moon's a circle, Sun's a circle. You know, so circular seems to be very, very dominant. And so, and then the precession of the equinox, that's also circular. And so there are different time periods that come up where it activates different energies. And actually, at the 777 this summer, July 7th of 2007, was when we opened up to the Atlantis energy, because that was on the degree of because all of the different degrees mean different things. And so 9 degrees Taurus is the degree of the Atlantis energy. And so we opened up to that energy, and then this is the time. That was the time, and it didn't stay open very long. It either closes at this equinox or on Halloween, one of the two, I'm not sure. I think it's probably on Halloween when it closes. And during this time period, it gives us opportunity to look at past things, you know, because there was a lot of destruction and everything that went on in time of Atlantis. And so this is coming up for the people that were part of that to relook at their life and what they're doing, so they can transmute that energy and turn it into the positive.
Right. Now, the people that I have returned that were with Atlantis are the ones, presumably, that you also said in that same alert, but when you mentioned them, that it was our turn to heal the Earth.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, like such a thing as karma, so if you come back, you know, and healing the Earth would be the people that were responsible for the destruction by healing themselves, which this period gives an opportunity to do, then in turn the Earth is healed of that energy.
Right.
Yeah. We're really powerful beings, you know, and lots of things can happen. Yeah. But also one thing that's really important
is that when we, so to say, block our copybooks the last time, and now we're given another chance to bring the right result in the end.
Right.
We've been promised indeed that that will be the case.
Uh-huh, right. Now, well, another really interesting thing that's going on right now with this, and this is an example of how astrology works, you know, because like right now as we speak, Mars is opposing Pluto in Sagittarius. Well, Sagittarius rules banks. And Mars is in opposition to it, and so that means challenges to it. And so what do we have? We have a major financial crisis going on right now, connected with the banks. And I saw in our papers, they did show one article that there was a run on one of your banks in England. And England has the same banking system that we do. You know, and it's in a critical time period right now. And so that's how astrology works. When the aspect comes up, then the events transpire. And another thing that's happening right now is that Venus is opposing Neptune. Now, Venus rules the dollar, and Neptune rules, like, things that are taken away. And, well, on the higher level, it's a spiritual planet. On the lower level, it's deception, and things are taken away and they dissolve and disappear. And so that is exact right now, too, as we speak. And so we have the dollar, like the United States dollar is down to 78 cents on the dollar on the international market. And then the exchange rate between the United States and England has gone way down. So people from here that go over to visit your country, their money doesn't go very far.
No.
And so this is all part of the transfer.
Again, because we're promised that in the very near future there will be a completely new type of banking system, which is part of the abundance program, and I could see that would be very welcome in view of the possibility of the financial markets crashing.
Yes. Yeah, and it might come through the banks, too, because of Sagittarius being the sign that rules banks. And so there might be, like, more runs on the bank, et cetera, with it. But the old has to go down for the new to come in, because the financial system that we've had for such a long period of time has not been good for everyone. You know, like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So it has to be a more equal system. And I know I was told personally, like, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, that there would be a new banking system come in, and that there'd also be a new world order, which is also in power right now. But as this band around the Earth continues to disintegrate and more light come in, you know, all of these changes are going to happen, and I think that they're going to happen really fast, especially because we have Jupiter and Pluto lined up with the galactic center in December, and Jupiter is a huge planet, and with that lined up with the galactic center, that's going to be an abundance of light coming in. And so there's a lot of light that's coming to Earth this fall. And the more light there is, the more well, it gets dark before it gets light. So it pulls out, the light pulls out the darkness. So it can be looked at and transformed.
That's a great thing to hear. Now, in your September, October Planet of Earth, reading that, I thought you appeared to see some significance in the seven-year time period. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, yes, right. Well, I've done Bible prophecies for a long time, and I've been telling people for years, because I've written my planet alert since 1987, the events that would transpire after that. And so in the Bible, you know, it talks about like a seven-year time period, that there'd be 7 years of peace in the Middle East, at the end times, that is. And then there would be 7 years of war. And so on September 13th of 1993, a peace treaty was signed between Bill Clinton, Arafat, and the President of Israel. And so 7 years later, in September of 2000, is when all the violence started again. I mean, there was peace for the 7 years, and then the violence started. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's been going strong since then, you know. And so this September is like the ending of another cycle of that particular time period. And then there's kind of like an overlapping, because the kingdom that's in power at the very end is a kingdom with the eagle with the 12 wings. And the 12 wings is the European common market. And that has really come to power in the last year, and especially like with a woman at the head of it. And so like in November of last year, the money crisis really started. And then everyone's going to the euro. And so I heard yesterday that Saudi Arabia is no longer going to trade in the dollar, and they've been our allies for a long time, and so they're going to the euro. And so many, many countries are now trading in the euro. And so this fits in with the Bible prophecies of the European common market being really powerful at the end time. You know, and then along with the 12 wings of the eagle, there's the three heads, which is, I interpret as Russia, China, and the United States. And then that's the end of prophecies, as far as I can tell, you know, for after studying Revelations for so long. And I don't really see anything else happening, except as far as, you know, like the man-made stuff, it might go into 2008 for a while, but the earth changes. It's like we've had our chance, now God's taken over, the earth is going to be cleansed, and it's to become new again. And so I think that this fall is our reaching that particular point in space or in time.
Right. Now, I think it was yourself that mentioned that you could possibly see the Bush administration going ahead with their own thing after the USA is free from the UN laws. I believe you said these are coming to an end. Is that also covered astrologically?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because Mars, you know, like the planet, well, it will not only be on top of Bush's sun, you know, and turn retrograde on it, it's also going to be directly over Washington, D.C., which is our government. And so there's going to be some major changes happening. And I also had another dream I had, which was this past Sunday. And this dream, it was in two different parts. And the first part of it was that I was with a group of people, and we were at the ocean, at a cabin at the ocean, right on the water. And then we all went to sleep. And then when we woke up the next day, everything had changed. The whole reality had changed. The cabin was up on a hill, you know, overlooking the water. And we marveled at, wow, this changed in an instant. And then the next part was that all of the corrupt, and we were talking about how all of the corrupt world leaders were no longer in power, and that it was time to set up a new organization that would lead, or not, I don't know, I don't want to say government, because government, you know, has a bad connotation to it, but a group of people, a lot of people all over the world, that would be forming this organization to kind of oversee what goes on Earth. And so I don't know exactly when that will be either, because but it did has happened on the astral. And so once something happens on the astral, it's just a matter of time before it comes to reality in the physical.
Yes. You mentioned Bush and Putin, and you said to watch out for the consequences if Iran is attacked. Are you saying that because Putin tends to have a friendship with China and they may both support Iran?
Yes, that is. And not only that, but Putin's Mars is right under this aspect right now as we speak, because his Mars is 27 Gemini or Sag, and so he has Pluto right on top of it. And so this means that he wants power. And watch out for him, because if anyone tends to cross him, he would fight back. And that's kind of a scary thing to look at, you know, as you're looking at the world leaders. And so if he's tempted, you know, like if one of them does something crazy, he could, you know, fight back. There's a possibility of that. And that would, chances of it happening would be next 3 months.
Talking of Bush, you also said that something totally unexpected is about to happen. Is this relating to what we've just spoken about and his destiny, I think, as you described it, as a war president?
Possible. And the reason I say that he's a war president is because the United States, in the birth chart of the United States, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, Mars was on 20 degrees Gemini, and the Sun was on 13 degrees Cancer. Okay, and so then Bush came in, and his birthday, you know, it's on 13 degrees Cancer, and his node, which is a person, the node is probably the most important point in anyone's chart, and that is your destiny. And so his destiny was on 20 degrees Gemini, which ties into the planet Mars of the United States chart.
Right.
And so he's just doing what he came to do, you know.
Yes.
And you know, I don't think it does any really good to fight, you know, or to be against someone, because that just makes the energy spiral and get out of control. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that things shouldn't be done to change things, but if you're going to get out there, like if you could get out there and rebel, you know, it can get really violent, and then that violence will just add on to the violence that's in the world.
Yes.
But if you can get out there and protest, like in a peaceful way, you know, it's entirely different. But so many times, the protests and stuff end up turning violent. And
yes, I totally agree with you there. And I think spiritual messages have made a point of saying that we should be non-judgmental and just stay within our own center and effectively just allow these things to pass us by.
Right, because like the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. And
yes.
That's the way peace will come on Earth is, you know, one person becomes peaceful and then more can become peaceful, and with the 100th monkey theory, eventually everyone will want peace. But right now, there's kind of a mixture of people that are on the earth, and so there's a lot of them that are still in the war vibration. And so with the darkness surfacing like it has been, you know, real strong, who knows what exactly how it will work out.
Right. Now, you also said that the fall equinox may bring a new world leader to the foreground. Can you comment more on that one?
I should have put an S on that, leaders. We're at the fall equinox, and it hasn't happened yet, but I think that this is a turning point. And so that's what I was talking about, like in my dream, where there's a whole group of people that once the controllers are no longer in power, that this whole group of people, and I believe that there's a lot of people working behind the scenes right now, and I think that it will just kind of come together, you know, at the right time. And it's a possibility that the UN might be that, because that's connected with all of the nations. And so it has come in on kind of a negative connotation, but, you know, it can change from the negative to positive instantly, you know?
Right, yes.
And so, it could happen really fast. I mean, the planets are very, very critical, you know, up till the end of this year.
Right. Now, in your planet alert, just getting onto a slightly different subject now, talking of, I guess, what most people would refer to as ascension, you mentioned the stargate that we have to walk through into a new creation or a higher vibration world. Do you know where that stargate is?
It's kind of like invisible. It's just like I've been in different places where I've been on this reality, and then all of a sudden I find myself in a different reality, and that's kind of what I mean. It's not something that you can pinpoint physically. It's just that by according to the frequency that you're manifesting, you'll be on one frequency, and then you manifest a different frequency, and you'll be in a different reality. And so it's not, you know, I can't say, okay, the stargate's going to open, you know, you go to this point on the earth and it'll open. Well, that's not exactly how it works. It's just basically on frequency. And the frequency, because there's a higher frequency world that's, you know, that we can go into when we're ready, and that's by our choice. And to be ready to go into this higher frequency, you have to be over all the fear and negativity and stuff that we've been working on for so long to transform within ourselves.
Yes. Yes. I've read at different times that there are a number of stargates upon the earth, and it was actually indicated that there was one over Baghdad, and that Bush was aware of this and was somehow trying to penetrate it. Were you aware of that story?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I was aware of that stargate as an interdimensional portal for a long time.
Yes.
In fact, that is one of the most powerful ones on the planet, and that's where the space beings would come to and from. And this was set up, you know, a long time ago when, like, Stitchkin's work talks about the Anunnaki that were based in that area. And so they used to come and go through that particular stargate. And whoever controlled that stargate controlled the world. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, other than oil and money, that he wanted to take over that particular stargate, you know, because you have to, well, one of the, you know, you have the stargate, you control the world. That portal. That it's kind of like portal. And I think that the movie, you know, like Stargate, I think that was pretty much a fact.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things going out there. And then there was a stargate. Sometimes you can feel the stargate, you know, because I was sent back to Washington, D.C. This was, let's see, a couple of years ago. And that was like a stargate opened up there connected with the planet Sirius. And so I was in that energy. And not everyone felt it there, you know. but I felt it the whole time I was there. And it was a very loving, very nice energy. And I was just on the verge of tears all the time because the energy was so nice. And yet, there were people around me that didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
So I find that very interesting, too.
Experience.
Uh-huh.
Right. You mentioned in one of your reports, just going entirely off that subject onto something different, about the friend of yours, Lee Chin, who experienced what you called a TIA, a short circuit of the brain. Could tell us about that?
Sure. Well, she lives across the valley from me, and she lives kind of like on a vortex. You know, which you could call a stargate or a vortex, and then there's one at my house, too. And so when things happen in our particular area, some kind of electrical manifestation or something like that, then we get hit by it because of the energy in our particular where we live. You know, it kind of draws it in. And so at the same time that she got that in her brain, there were things going on at my house, too, like the electromagnetic energy came in, and it, like, fried light in my living room, and it burned out my watch because it was just a surge of energy that came in. So she had the surge of energy, too, because the vortex where she lives, it brought it in. And so it literally, because she has had her health, more health challenges than I've had, and so it affected her, you know, literally in her brain. And so the energy was too strong for her when it came in. And so it kind of, you know, like knocked her semi-conscious for about 4 hours. And then right after that, that was on August 21st. And so we knew that something was opening, you know, at that particular time because of it happening to both of us. And then on September 3rd, there was an electrical storm that sat over my house for a half an hour, and it was directly overhead because I could tell, because, you know, the lightning and the thunder came right together. And so all of that energy, because of me living in a vortex, you know, it was just pulled into my house like a transformer. But I didn't have any negative effects from that, but it was an interesting experience. And it's really interesting, too, because nothing happened. I mean, no electricity around my house or anything went out. It was just this storm sitting over my area and, you know, going on for a half hour, because I watched it for a whole half hour. And it was really interesting. And so there has been different times. Like, over the past years, because of living on this vortex like I do, like lightning struck, a strike of lightning came down and hit in my neighbor's driveway, which isn't that far from my house, and burned a hole in it. Mm-hmm. And another time, one came down and hit my other neighbor's house. And so this is kind of a potent energy right here that pulls in stuff like that.
Right. Now, you mentioned Bible prophecies. These interpreted by you intuitively? Where do you get your understanding from of what they mean?
Well, I've had good help from my guidance, you know. Like, I've studied the Book of Revelations for a long time and would try to figure out, you know, what in the world this meant, you know, and then I finally get it figured out. But I don't think I could have done it without the help of my guides, you know. Yeah. And so they've helped me interpret it. And so it's been my way of interpreting it. It's not like, you know, other people have different ways of interpreting it, but I can just give out, you know, what I've been given and the way I interpret it. And as far as I interpret it, we're coming to an end. I mean, their revelations is about over. And a lot of people are still waiting for, you know, it to begin. And it actually started with the First World War. You know, 1914, 1918, that was the very beginning of Revelations. And so all those things, you know, First World War, Second World War, bombing, the atomic bomb going off in Japan, Chernobyl, which is the same worm as wormwood, you know, in Russia. These are all things that were predicted in the Bible, and they've already happened. So we're right at the end. We're at the rule of God. And the rule of God will be here as soon as we finish this dark stuff. It goes away, you know, and the light starts pouring in.
Yeah.
We're right there, real close. And then another thing
where is the apocalypse coming into these prophecies? What is your interpretation of that?
Well, we could be on the verge of that right now, which could be if Bush decides to do something crazy, you know, and Russia and China come into it. That could be a climax, unless that energy can be neutralized by mass thought.
Yes.
And then, as far as 2012 goes, I think that that's the time, you know, because, you know, the earth changes. I mean, the earth has to be cleansed because it's so polluted and everything like that. And we're in global warming. And my interpretation of 2012 is that that's when we move into no time. You know, the time is gone, and we're no longer in time because we'll be in living in the fifth dimension. And I think that we're first starting to see the fifth dimension. I think that some people, you know, it all depends on your frequency, and it's personal choice too. And so some people can jump into the higher frequency, you know, faster than others because of the particular lessons that others choose to experience. And so I think that 2012 is kind of the cutoff where we're totally in the fifth dimension and time is no more.
Right. I totally agree with what you're saying, and indeed it does fit in not only with the information given through my messages but many other people's. I think this is tending to happen. There is a lot of confirmation of how these end times are sort of working out. Now, another thing I wanted to refer to was, this was in your Planet Alert for August this year.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned a book that you evidently refer to called The Arcturus Probe.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing it seems to be your focus for information about Lucifer.
Okay, well, I have gotten... When I read that book, I thought, wow, this makes so much sense, because I had been questioning it, because how could a great light being, you know, it just didn't make sense when they were saying, like, oh, Lucifer's a devil and he's a great light being, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there is a person named Satan, which is ruled by Saturn, which has always been considered the devil, you know, which has been a dark leader that has been in control of the earth for a long time. But I think that there's been so much misinformation from the church that the great light being, the planet Maldek, another name for the planet Maldek, was Lucifer. And so when the Dark Lords destroyed that planet, that was Lucifer falling, you know, could be another interpretation of it. And then the church could have taken it out of context and set up a whole system of control where, and also, like it says right in the Bible, if you want to go read the Bible in Revelations, you know, and it says that Jesus came from the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The bright morning star is Lucifer. And I've for years I questioned that. I said, this just doesn't make sense. You know, what's going on here? And so for years I've been questioning this dogma. You know, and then when I finally read the book, The Arcturian Probe, you know, and what Jose Arguelles said in it, it just made so much sense to me. You know, it just all, the puzzle, pieces of the puzzle all fit together. And so the great...
Was that book channeled by someone?
It was Jose Arguelles. He's the one that set up the Harmonic Convergence, you know, in 1987.
Yeah.
That was another book written by him.
Oh, right.
And so I'm sure it was channeled because, you know, he had a lot of help from the space beings and with the dream spell, Mayan dream spell and everything like that. And so I think that there's a lot of credence with it, because he's the one that got us out of the fourth dimension, I mean, into the out of the third dimension into the fourth dimension, because we jumped the timeline after the harmonic convergence, and we've been going through the fourth dimension since 1987. And that's a dimension where all the wars and the violence and everything that there is exists.
Yeah.
And so once we get out of the fourth dimension and the dimension of the controllers, we move into the fifth dimension and we're free. And we're fast approaching that time period.
Yeah. Now, as you said, a lot of people look upon Lucifer as being the devil. They would therefore find it, I guess, difficult to accept. One of the examples you quoted from that book, telling that he sent messengers of light to the earth, such as the Buddha.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, like I was talking about, it says right in the Bible, Jesus said, I am the offspring of him, you know. And so people read the Bible, and I often wondered, well, you know, how can people read the Bible and see this, you know, see that it says that he's the offspring of him. And it just, you know, it was just too, just didn't make sense to me. And so now it makes sense. You know, the light, the great light. And I think that Lucifer was probably the being that failed to help Earth and became caught into the dark, you know, the physical reality, and has been here for a long time. And then once we get into the light, then the job from that person will probably be over, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. So, from what you've said so far, it seems that between now and the end of the year, there's an immense amount of light coming, which would seem to be the trigger for these big changes that we've been promised.
Yes, yes, and that's when Jupiter and Pluto line up together with the galactic center. You know, and it depends, too, how long it takes for this dark band to go down, because there is a photon belt out there, and when this dark band goes down, then all the photon energy can come in, you know, because there won't be anything holding it back.
Yes.
And we'll be bathed in light.
The photon energy is one which is very powerfully transmuting the older energy, so...
Yes.
I'm guessing that energy itself will enable us to take quite a great leap forward.
Yes. Right. And then we'll be in the light, they say, for, what is it, 2,000 years or longer?
Yes.
Which will be...
Well, forever, I hope.
Right. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
2,000 years. Let's have it forever, yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, I haven't got many minutes left before I've got to conclude the program. But what I would like to ask you, do you have anything on your website that you would like to mention to our listeners? And perhaps you would tell them your address in case they want to subscribe to your Planet Alert.
Oh, yes. Okay. We're having a new website is being put up, and it will be up by the end of this month, which is like right now, you know. And the address for that is www.alcseattle.com, and they can read my Planet Alerts, and the past Planet Alerts should be archived too. And then there's other stuff on our website too. And my email address is mahala22, that's mahala, and 22, you know, the numerology numbers 22, at msn.com. And so anyone who would like to communicate would, you know, could do that through that those particular places.
That's wonderful. Incidentally, where did the name Mahala come from?
Well, I was actually named Gail by my birth name, and then one morning I woke up, and this was about 10 years ago, and this voice said to me, your spiritual name is Mahala. And I thought, wow, that sounds really pretty. And so I sat on it for about a year before I started using it. And then I thought, well, you know, this has a nice vibration to it. I think I will change my name to that. And so I did.
Oh, fine. Oh, I wondered where it came from.
Uh-huh. Oh, it comes from India? It comes from India?
From India?
Yeah, India.
Yes.
In Hawaii, the name Mahalo with an O on the end is hello in Hawaiian, but the name Mahala comes from India.
Oh, right. That's very nice. Well, look, I must thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mahala, on to this program. I think you've been a wonderful guest, and you're so full of information, which you seem to be able to turn out at the top of the hat, as they say, and I think you've been extremely interesting. I'm so pleased to have had the chance to invite you on the program. I'll have to conclude now because we have to bring it to an end about 5 minutes
okay.
before the hour.
Uh-huh.
So is there any final comments you want to say apart from goodbye?
Oh, just to be calm, stay in the light, and everything will be fine if you're, you know, according to you, choosing or creating your own reality. We all create our own reality, and it's our choice if we want to be happy or sad, and I prefer to be happy, no matter what's going on around us.
That's fine, yeah. That was a great comment. Right, well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I will now say goodbye to our listeners and thank them for being with us and hope they enjoyed the interview. So I'll leave it at that and say God bless you all. Thank you very much.